Hi, I'm Pastor Eric, and I am so glad you're tuning in to today's podcast. You're about to hear a message from our current sermon series, Wrecked. And today, we're going fishing for a blessing or a miracle that you might need in your life. If you'd like to know more about our ministry, you can always check us out on the web at hillsideassembly.org. Now, I hope you open your heart and your mind to hear a word from God.
Well, I am ready. We are going fishing today in church. I got my gear. I got the right clothes. I got my tackle box. I got two different types of poles. I got different kinds of bait. I got my cooler because I'm expecting to catch something from God today. Or aren't you guys ready? I mean, didn't you come expecting to get something from God today? I hope you brought a cooler to take home what God gives you. Because if you didn't, you've missed the whole point. We don't come to church out of obligation. We come because we get to connect with God. We get to connect with each other. We get to grow, be transformed and changed. We're not meant to be the same person that we were when we came in this morning, when we go home today. We get to apply God's word to our life. And so I'm ready to do some fishing for miracles today. I'm ready to see what God might want to have for us. How many of you have ever been fishing before? Many of you ever caught anything? Okay, the hands start going down. Well, wait a minute. Some of you raised your hand for catching things and you've never been fishing. I don't know how that works. I remember one time I went fishing with my wife and we were just in this boat and it was docked. We're fishing off the back of the boat. My wife's not really into fishing a whole lot. She'll do it occasionally. She didn't want to put any more worms on her hook, so she just kind of put it out there. She starts catching fish with nothing on the hook. I got all sorts of bait on my hook, nothing. And then she opens up the back because she's like, something got caught or whatever. And she goes to open up the back of this pontoon boat and a bluegill jumps in the boat. I'm like, I'm going home. The fish are just jumping in the boat. There's something wrong. But I do want to set expectations for a miracle today. I think a lot of times we've been fishing for miracles in our life. And we've been using the wrong type of tackle. We've had the wrong type of mindset. So no matter who you are this morning, where you come from, your background, your family life, whatever situation you find yourself in today, there is a miracle waiting for you. Now, like fishing, sometimes we cast out and we catch things that we weren't expecting to catch. I went fishing just almost 2 weeks ago now. And I was out with Stobbs, Rick Stobbs, and we were fishing. And man, he thought he got into some weeds. And then all of a sudden, that line started to jerk in a weird way. And he caught a snapping turtle. That is not what we went fishing for. Nor did I have any desire to put my hands on that miracle, because we would have needed a miracle afterwards after losing some fingers. But we got that guy unhooked and sent him back home. Sometimes the miracle isn't the one that we want. But God hooks us up with the miracle that we need because he knows better than we do. But there is a miracle for you this morning. The great thing is, no matter where you come from, there's a miracle for you. Miracles are not bought. You cannot purchase the kingdom of God. And if there's one thing that makes this pastor upset, it's when I see people say, hey, if you financially give this much, then you can be healed. And I want to say that is the biggest bunch of garbage ever. I hate ministries that do that. The kingdom of God is accessible to everyone. And there is a miracle for you no matter who you are, where you come from. It doesn't matter what clothes you wore. If you wore a three-piece suit this morning or you came in the only pair of jeans that you own, there is a miracle for you. God loves you. He died for you. He rose from the grave for you. And he's got a plan for your life. And he wants to hook you up with a miracle today. Do you believe that God has a miracle for you? I don't believe you. Do you believe God has a miracle for you today? Amen. Lord, as we get into your word, as we dig into the word of God, Lord, hook us up with a miracle, not that we want, the miracle that we need in our life. Lord, there are those here this morning who are at the end of the rope. They have been fishing all night long. And have come up empty. Their tank's on empty. The mind is on empty. They're discouraged, frustrated, upset. Lord, today, would you bless them and hook them up with a miracle? Hook them up with hope. Hook them up with joy. Lord, I believe there is a miracle for every single person this morning. Lord, as I begin to preach your word this morning, I pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to be present. Let it not be my words, but let it be your word brought to light. In Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said, amen. If you've got a Bible, would you turn to Luke chapter 5? Our characters today, we're going to be talking about Peter and the unsung hero of the gospel, Peter's fishing boat. And that'll make sense here in a little while. But Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Starting in verse 1. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, I can't even say that correctly, but it is the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. They were doing just like you and I are doing today, listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one boat, the one belonging to Simon. This would be Peter, who later becomes a disciple, an apostle of Christ, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. From nothing to overflowing. That is the power of our God. I want to catch a blessing today. I want you to catch a blessing today. And there is an intersection where blessings and miracles seems to come from, and they are this intersection of blessing and frustration. There's this place where our life can be so messed up and so frustrated and such heartbreak, and yet at the same moment, there is a blessing from God rolling in, and at some point, they intersect, and that is where miracles transpire and take place. I believe today that intersection is right here, just not in this building, but in your heart and in your minds. There's a blessing for you today. The point of frustration can be the point of your next miracle. And I believe it's true in this passage of scripture. Peter's ready to go home. He's docked the boats. He's pulled in the nets. He's calling it a day because they've cast out the nets. They've cast out the lines. They've fished all night and nothing is biting. Nothing's happening. And I know this from fishing, that there are conditions in fishing. There are times in the day that are better to fish than others. Now you can catch a fish all day long probably, but there are moments where it's easier to catch fish. Early in the morning, right before sunset, both those work great. That's usually when the fish are biting, but fish will bite sometimes all day long. It just depends on the conditions, and the conditions have to be right. But here is Peter, and he's like, "I'm done," because the condition of his heart is, "I'm frustrated. I'm tired. We've worked hard." What's the Beatles song? "It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog." I mean, that was his song. I'm tired. I got nothing left to give. So bring it in, wash the nets, hang them up to dry. We're calling it a day. But it is the place of his frustration that Jesus intersects his life, and blessings and miracles are about to occur. That's good news for us today. If you're frustrated, upset, discouraged, you're in the right place. You're about to intersect with Jesus. Let's break this down. Let's talk about point number one, the conditions for blessing. We know that conditions have to be right for fishing. We also know that conditions, you know, it can be good conditions for storms to happen. We live in the Midwest, and we've had some severe storms here. And if the weather is right, you get a cold front and a warm front, you get the right moisture in the air, and they come together, and then something happens. Power is generated, and we get severe weather. Now, we don't want that today. All right, so we don't want to pray that way. We don't want to pray for severe weather for your life. But if the conditions are right, things begin to happen. And I believe this, while conditions there's right conditions for fishing. And for certain types of fish, you need to know the conditions. That if you know the conditions, you have a better chance of catching fish. If you know the conditions are right for a severe storm, you can take cover and shelter. I believe the same is true of seeing God move. Now, I want to say this. I am not God. And if you thought I was, I'm sorry to disappoint you. But my name is not Jesus. It's Eric. And I am a follower of Jesus. And what I have found is that while God can do whatever he wants, any way he wants, there are no limits or boundaries to what he can do. I do believe that there are certain conditions, and when certain conditions happen, it can be more beneficial for us. That there are conditions for miracles that we can kind of see in Scripture. When these conditions happen, we're more likely to see a miracle, to get caught up with a miracle. And so let's look at that today. Let's see if we can figure out some of the conditions for a miracle. Because I don't know about you, I'm ready for a blessing from God. Let's look at the conditions of the location. They are at the Sea of Galilee. By the way, Sea of Galilee, not a sea. It's not. It's a lake. It's the largest freshwater body in Israel, the Sea of Galilee. A good portion of Scripture takes place around the Sea of Galilee, especially in Jesus' ministry. In fact, did you know that 18 out of the 33 biblical miracles happen in, on, or around the Sea of Galilee? That's like half. Half the miracles take place, more than half, take place around the Sea of Galilee. Well, why is that even important, Pastor? Why is that even a big deal? I think it's a huge deal because I don't believe Jesus ever did anything by consequence or coincidence. I believe Jesus is our Savior, and he has purpose and vision in mind in everything that he does. Because, see, the interesting thing about the Sea of Galilee, it's 209 meters below sea level. It starts at 209 meters below sea level and then goes deeper after that. And while it is not the deepest body of water, it is the deepest starting point for any fresh body of water in the world. It starts at the lowest point, 209 meters. I don't think it's by accident that the miracles of Jesus happen at the lowest place. See, today you might find yourself at a low point. You're at a place where you feel like, I can't experience because I'm too far down. I'm too far gone for even God to reach me at this point. That's where Jesus does some of his best work. When we're at our lowest, it's an opportunity. It's a condition for Jesus to move in and begin to do some amazing blessings. Here we see in this passage of Scripture, Peter is frustrated not catching fish. You've got people who are frustrating because they can't hear Jesus. You've got a full crowd and empty nets. It's a shipwreck waiting to happen. Everybody's frustrated. Everybody's upset except for Jesus. Because he realizes this is the right conditions for a miracle. This is the right conditions for me to move, for me to bless somebody's life. I love this phrase on this hut. Building a dream isn't easy. Building a dream is not easy. Building our lives isn't easy. It's difficult. It's challenging. And too many people throw in the towel way too early because it's challenging, because there's work involved. Don't throw in the towel this morning on God. Don't throw the towel in on your life because God's just getting started. He's got something more for you. He's got something better. The best is still yet to come. The devil thought he had won on Friday, but Sunday morning came, and there was a miracle that was brought in. Just because you're at a low point this morning does not mean Jesus is not moving. The condition of your location does not matter. The condition of where you came from does not matter. The condition of your race does not matter. The condition of you being American or European or Australian or African does not matter when it comes to the kingdom of God and God's miracles for your life. There's not an entitlement card because you come from somewhere different. Jesus wants to interact with your life, which brings us to point number two, partnered blessing. In verse number one, it says this of Luke chapter 5. One day as Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. Listening to the word of God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning, the word already existed. The word was with God and the word was God. See, while these people were listening to the word, they're listening to it to a way that's different than you and I can listen to it today. Because I'm just a man sharing the word that's written. Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, yes. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit to listen. That's great and that's awesome. These guys are listening to the word of God. They're listening to Jesus. That's awesome. That's amazing. And here they are in this passionate moment, listening to God. And it brings out this point that the word needs a conduit to be heard. For the word of God to be listened to, it's got to be spoken. It's got to be shared. It's got to be taken. There has to be a conduit to run the word of God through. And Jesus needs a way to get the word out. Which brings us to verse 2. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one boat, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Jesus is crazy. He's nuts. Like, I don't know if you realize how crazy that passage is. Like, if you don't think so, I encourage you to do this. Right after service today, drive out to Green Lake. Go to the marina, get out of your car, walk down, find somebody who's got a nice $40,000 bass boat, go sit in it and ask them to put out to shore. Just put out to water. Would you do that for me? Let me know how that goes for you. It's not going to be pretty. They're calling the cops. They're going to push you in the water. They're doing something. It's crazy. Peter didn't know who this was. This guy's showing up with a crowd and he's like, hey, I'm sitting in your boat. Peter must have been like, what is going on? This is nuts. Did you ever wonder why Jesus picked Peter? I mean, we talk about the NFL draft a lot in Wisconsin with the Packers. A lot of us follow that, and it's fun, and it's exciting. But I will tell you this. Peter does not make the highlight reel on everybody's draft picks. When you're looking for people to build your ministry team, Peter's like doesn't even come close. Like, I think there was more things probably in Judas's favor than in Peter's. I mean, think about it for a second. Why would you pick this guy? He's impulsive, right? We know that. We see it in Scripture. He speaks before he thinks often, right? He's got anger issues. I mean, come on. Somebody chops off ears at the first sign of trouble. I'm like, I don't know if that's a guy I want on my ministry team. I don't know if that's a guy I'd want on our pastoral staff. I'm like, chopping off ears. Yeah, check. Got that? I'm like, this doesn't even make any sense. So as you begin to explore this passage of Scripture, you have to start coming to a conclusion that maybe the reason that Jesus picked Peter was he liked his boat. Like, really? I'm like, not even joking. Because, look, the word needs to get out. And in the days of Jesus, there is no internet. There's not Uber. Like, you're not sitting on the side of the road hailing a taxi cab. How does the word get out? There's no radio stations. And it's interesting, from this point on, we see the boat show up everywhere. It's zipping across the lake left and right. I think Jesus picked Peter because he liked his boat. There were two boats there. He picked Peter's. That's a nicer looking boat. I think I'll take this one. And so he gets on the boat. So what's the point for us out of this? People today need to hear the word. They need to hear the word. The people on the shore needed to hear the word. And here's the really kicker, right? We know Jesus can walk on water. Why doesn't Jesus just walk out on the water? Because I got to tell you, I do some crazy sermon illustrations. I dress up, I bring out fishing poles, we decorate the stage for sermon series. I do a lot of illustrations. I try to learn from Jesus. But I'll tell you, if you walk on water, that's the best sermon illustration you're getting. I mean, there is not a person there that's losing their attention and falling asleep in that church service. Jesus just walked on the water. And you know if he did it, somebody was going to try to follow him out there and drowned. You know it. Maybe that's why he decided not to do it, but I don't think that's the reason. I think that Jesus could have gotten the word out any way he wanted to. He chose to do it by getting on the boat. See, the word finds a way, and the way of the word is through you. We have a generation, we have a culture, we have a community that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus. They need to hear about the stories that Jesus still does. They need to hear about the miracles of life-changing power that resurrection brings and the conduit that God is using is you and me. He wants your boat. He wants your boat this morning. He is sitting in your boat going, will you pull off from shore? Will you pull your boat back out, even in your frustration? Even in your heartbreak, will you pull out? Because I want on your boat. And you'll say this morning, but Pastor, look, God, you say that God wants my boat, but my boat is in bad condition. My boat, my life, because the boat is our life. You can go, well, my boat's too new, it's too young, it's my boat's too old, it's got holes and it leaks. Pastor, do you know what my boat has? It's got all sorts of inappropriate stickers on it. So Jesus can't use my boat. My boat's got a lot of baggage. It's full of other stuff from my life. Heartache and disappointment, relationship issues. Don't even get me started about my mother-in-law. I mean, it's just packed full of stuff. How could God want to use my boat? My boat's not as nice as somebody else's boat. Let's go, you know, let's be honest. We throw that one out there a lot. Peter looks at Jesus and says, I've been fishing all night and didn't catch anything. Why would you want my boat, Jesus? And that brings us to a conclusion. It wasn't the fact that Jesus needed Peter's boat. It was the fact that Peter needed Jesus' blessing on his boat. Jesus looked and said, he knew, Peter, you need me on your boat. You're frustrated, you're upset, you're calling it quits. You need me on your boat. You need my blessing on your life. You need me to make your life complete. Peter, you need me on your boat. And this morning, Jesus is saying those same words to you. Robin, you need me on your boat. Breck, you need me on your boat. Tim, you need me on your boat. Anthony, you need me on your boat. He's saying that to each and every one of us today, that he wants to get on the boat. Now listen, don't go to the other extreme. It's really easy to go, Jesus is on my boat, and make it all about us. Jesus chose me to be the pastor of Hillside Assembly. Out of all the pastors in the world, I am better than all those other guys that have TV shows on at all nights of the hour on biblical broadcasting channels because Jesus chose me at Hillside. And we make it about us. And that's not the way it works. We need to stay humble and realize the reason that anything works in our life is the fact Jesus blessed it. It has very little to do with us except our obedience. That's it. It's our obedience and us allowing God to work in our life. It's that can of paint. God's word is like a can of paint. Its powers and its application. Put it on the walls of our life. We grow and we change. Because here is the other thing. If some of us say, well, I just won't go. What if Peter would have said no? Jesus, I don't know who you are. This is nuts. I am not. Get off my boat. You notice there were two boats there. If Peter would have said no, somebody else would have said yes. Let me make it really clear. Jesus wants to do something in Ripon, Wisconsin. No doubt in my mind. I believe that 100%. I'm sold on it. I'm investing in that cause. And I believe that Jesus has a season of blessing on Hillside Assembly to get the job done. And we've got a choice. We can say, yes, Jesus, stretch us, grow us, change us. Or we can say no, and God's blessing will go to another church in town, and he'll find somebody that will say yes. Let's not miss God by saying no. And let's not be prideful and say he can only work through us. He can work through anybody. I just want to be a part of the partnership. How about you? I want to see lives changed and transformed by the gospel. Brings us to part three. The crowd or the crew? There's two types of people here this morning. You're rather part of the crowd or part of the crew. Those are the two groups of people that we see in this miracle. There's a crowd that's following Jesus and they're listening, and that's great. That's a starting point. Everybody has to start in the crowd. Peter started in the crowd, really. He was just another person in the crowd after they got to the shoreline. But there was something that changed when he let Jesus on his boat and he took off from the shore. He no longer was a part of the crowd. He was a part of the crew. And you see this principle throughout Scripture, especially in the New Testament. The cool thing about being part of the crew that's different than the crowd, you get to experience the miracle. It was Peter's boat that received the miracle. We can sit in the crowd and just take in and take in and take in, or we can begin to apply. And we can begin to be transformed, and we can begin to serve, and we can begin to walk out in faith, and we can begin to share. And all of a sudden, we transition from being on the shoreline to being in the boat with Jesus and being a part of the miracle and watching Jesus do stuff through our lives to change other people's lives. That's exciting. People are nervous. They're like, oh, I think pastor's calling me to full-time ministry. Yes. I am. The ministry of this church is not its pastor. The ministry of this church is its people. You are a minister of the gospel. You accept the call or you decline it. That's your choice. But you are being called. You are the boat that Jesus is calling this morning. Let's go to chapter 5, verse 5. Simon answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so," I love the fact that you can have a bad attitude, but if you're obedient to Jesus, he'll still work in your life. He starts off complaining, "I'm so frustrated, but because you're asking me to do this, Jesus, I'll kick off the boat into deep water." And they still get blessed. Now, look, it's a lot nicer when everybody's got good attitudes. But the fact is, obedience tops it all. Obedience to the Lord moves mountains. "I'll let down my nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. A shout for help brought their partners in another boat. And as soon as both boats were filled with fish, they were on the verge of sinking. It is obedience that brings favor from God. It's not good intentions. That doesn't bring miracles. I'm going to make an even bolder acknowledgement here. It's not your acknowledgements of Christ that bring miracles either. It's your obedience. The fact that you put a Jesus fish on your bumper of your car does not mean that God's favor goes down the street with you. Because you show up at church doesn't mean that God's favor is available to you. But when you step out in obedience, when Jesus calls and we step, it is a rhythm in motion from Genesis 1:1. God speaks and nature responds. God speaks to his people and we respond. And we rather respond, yes, Lord, or no. Those are the two options. There is no maybe in the kingdom of God. It's yes or no. And it's not by what we say, it's by what we do. Peter could have said, sure, I will, but I'm going to lunch first and whatever, I'll put out a little bit later. No, he said, okay, and we're doing it. It wasn't because he said yes, it was because he did yes. He did what Jesus asked him to do, and then the miracle came. Why is it, do we have it backwards? We want the miracle to happen, and then we'll do what God wants us to do. Well, heal me first, Lord, and then I'll share the gospel. Well, Lord, do this for me. Put me in this position, then I'll serve. And I'll guarantee you, you have that type of attitude, you are never going to see the dreams that God has placed in your heart. You'll never get there. God will never open the door. Because it's backwards. You serve and the miracle follows. That's how ministry happens. That's how you catch a miracle. It's out of obedience to God. Can I tell you, fishing is better with a partner. I can go out fishing by myself, but when I go out with somebody from the church and we go fishing, it's a better experience. And maybe we don't even catch anything but turtles. But it's good to fish with a partner, and there's no better partner in life than Jesus. Worship team, if you come and get ready. God knows your problems this morning. It's no secret to him. You're not hiding anything. Let's just be real. A lot of us came in here. Somebody asked you, how are you doing? And we lied. I'm good. I'm great. Another day. Some of us tried really creatively not to lie. Like we just kind of avoided the question. We changed the subject. But you can't hide from Jesus. He knows exactly where you are. There's no hiding behind a door. We're in the window of God's grace. We're exposed to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He knows where we're at. He knows the situations you're facing. He knows the relationship issues you're in. He knows what's going on at work. He knows what's going on in your head. He knows about your depression. He knows about your medical diagnosis. He knows it all. So don't hide from Jesus. He already knows. And he's got a solution, a resolution, or a restoration for you. And I'm not saying it's easy, and it's not going to be like rubbing a lamp. Jesus, move in my life. And we make wishes. Because when you say, Jesus, move in our life, he is going to command you in some way. He's going to give you not all the steps, not all the battles you have to fight, not all the things you have to change. He's going to give you the next thing. One step at a time. Tomorrow morning, or even at this altar today, he's just going to give you one thing. Do this. And tomorrow morning, you're going to ask God, what is it I do now? And he's faithful to tell you, this is the next step. This is the next step. This is the next step. Jesus isn't asking you to look out the window and see 10 miles down the road and try to make decisions today to get you 10 miles down the road. He's asking you to make the next decision one step at a time, one choice at a time, one day at a time, to walk in the miracle of the moments. Obedience changes everything. And it wasn't just Peter's boat that got blessed, was it? This is so exciting. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're obedient to him, guess what? Everybody that's around you starts to receive God's favor and blessing. Because it overflows, it pours out. It's like the oil that we had a few weeks ago. When it's flowing, it's flowing. And if you're obedient, the oil of God is flowing in your life, whether you see it, whether you can smell it, whether it's tangible or not, I'm telling you, it's there. And the people in your life will begin to sense the favor of God in their own life. Because Jesus travels with us.